Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Well, welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Coming off of a great win at UAB 31-13. It's your host, Jordan, joining you from Houston, Texas this week, joined by Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. James, somewhere in the lower Midwest, Mid-East, whatever we want to call it, and Dan in Coastal Connecticut.
Lower
Mid-East. How are we doing? How are we feeling after Army?
I'm 3 hours down the road from you, brother.
You are?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Corpus Christi, Texas, the great concrete.
Oh, hell, I thought you were in Kansas or Oklahoma.
No.
That's Omar.
You were somewhere like
that. I was in Oklahoma City. I was in Oklahoma City.
Thank you.
I've now relocated to the strip mall jungle that is Corpus Christi, Texas.
The Navy sent you to someplace with some damn water for once.
Still don't touch it. It's carcinogenic down here.
It is. They call it the carcinogenic coast.
Yes, they do.
And Ray, I'm great at geography, especially airports. I just didn't know where James was, but thank you for calling me out like that. I think I asked how y'all were doing and no one said anything. How are we doing? 31-13. How are we feeling after that win?
Awesome, man. Couldn't be better. You know, sitting there and only screamed at my TV through the first half. Second half was a much calmer experience. Dude, that's the way we like it. Good football Saturday overall. I really enjoyed it.
Rob, you're more of a like kind of level guy, especially compared to Dan. Were you screaming at your TV during the first half?
Not really. I think the most important part for me, and I think it's just college football in general. So cheap plug for Roundtable. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But like, this has been a wild season because like we're on pace to have like 70 top 25 upsets. Because they're dropping like flies. And I think that's interesting part. I think we're starting to see more parity, you know, and, you know, who would have thought that name, image, and likeness would have evened teams out. But I think that's we're starting to see that a little bit more. But as watching the Army game, complimentary football. You know, I have some other things that I'll talk about when we get a little bit deeper into the outline. But it was nice to see all three facets working together. And it's amazing how when all three facets work together, there's success. So, like, no surprise there. But, you know, it was good to watch everybody get involved into a win. And it was one that was needed. You know, we just got to go 1-0 this week now.
Yeah. James, did you catch the game?
I did. Unfortunately, I was writing a grad school paper during the game. So I was listening mostly, but would peer up when a big play was happening. We'll talk a little bit more about one of the plays later, but no, it was obviously fun. And then by the end of the game, it was just sort of half paying attention since we were winning. But I did get a chance to go back and watch it today. Really like some of the things that they did with Helms in the second half and the second quarter. Have some thoughts on the two quarterback system going forward, but I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, James, you talked about the strip mall jungle of Corpus Christi. There's another strip mall jungle out there, and it's Fayetteville, North Carolina. Rob, why don't you tell us about our friend Jocelyn?
Yeah, so if you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a military veteran who spent her career in Army logistics. There, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed in helping her clients find dream homes when they're in the market, and she will provide exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can help you if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football this season, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Bottom line is, we're trying to line you up with people that you can trust to get you into your next home. And that's both Craig and Jocelyn. So even if you just need a reference or to get pointed in the right direction to find somebody that can help you land in a soft place, reach out to them. She's got a business card on our website. Click on it, fill out the information. She'll be talking to you shortly. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Let's review UAB. Army beat the pants off UAB. Dan, I don't think that's the same. I think it's beat the brakes off UAB. I don't think people say beat the pants, but I mean,
that's what It depends on how you beat them, I guess.
Whatever. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I've never beat the pants off someone before, but whatever. Hey, best performance of the season from the defense so far. Offense fought through some early mistakes, but did enough to win the game. Story of the game is that it stayed pretty even through half. I think it was, what, 7-7 or 10-7 at half. Army's defense forced a field goal attempt on UAB's first drive. We actually ended up blocking that, which was great. Offense took over and punched the ball into the end zone with a 10.5-minute drive, old-school Army drive. After that, though, both offenses really kind of struggled most of the second quarter. UAB finally got going with a quick passing drive with just under 5 minutes left in the half, scored, making it 7-7. And then Helms came in and did a really good job of quickly moving down the field. And then Dawson Knox hit a 45-yard field goal to make it 10-7. The second half was pretty much all Army. It did start a little ugly. We went 3 and out in the first possession. UAB immediately drove down the field but couldn't punch it in and then missed a field goal. Helms then hit slot back Samari Howard on a swing pass for 41 yards. That set up a score to make it 17-7. And then from there on, Army was really in control of the game. UAB fumbled the ensuing kickoff. Army recovered but went 4 and out on downs. But then UAB quarterback Jalen Kitna, who we're not a fan of, immediately threw an interception to set up another score. Defense finished with a pick and a sack, but they dropped at least 3 more picks, and they got decent pressure throughout the game. Army went on to score twice more in the fourth quarter. UAB also scored late against Army's backup on defense, and the final score was Army 31, UAB 13. Gents, I know when we talked last week, there was a sense of, if not now, when? Hey, is this Army team going to turn the corner? Or are they going to get the win that they need at this point in the season? And if not, are we going to see that? And I think based on this performance, you know, we see more glimmers of hope, right? We saw a lot of glimmers of hope coming out of the darkness of losing to Tarleton State, seeing the light against Kansas State. Dan, do you think we're out of the woods? Do you think we've turned the corner as the Army team, or do we still have a ways to go to kind of prove ourselves and be the team that we think that we know they can be?
So not to get too much into coach speak and Munkinisms, but you know, you just got to go 1-0 every week and try to improve a little bit.
Sure.
I think personally that this team has a tendency to play a little too emotional and to try to catch lightning in a bottle. I was talking about this with some of my buddies on text this morning. And what they need to do is to just go to practice every day, try to have the best practice they possibly can. Like, you don't beat Navy on the second Saturday of December. You beat Navy in the weight room every time you go in. You beat them in every rep. You know, I mean, I know that sounds boring and it sounds like coach speak, but dude, if you want to be a good athlete, you're a good athlete. Every time you show up to the gym, show up to the pool, show up to the field, whatever it is, you know, you just work at it until you're like, okay, good, I got what I needed to do today. And even at 52, that's still the way that I look at it. And if this team will settle down and just do the shit day in and day out, then they won't have to catch lightning in a bottle because they'll just be ready. And I'm not totally sure that emotionally that's where we are, but they're definitely moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Rob, you know, you talk a lot about kind of sports psychology and stuff like that. Do you agree with what Dan's saying?
Yeah, 100%. Consistency is the mother of success, right? Like if you can be consistent in performing at a high level, then you're going to win championships. And I think, you know, we were talking about this earlier today, and it's, you know, why was Bryson Daly so successful last year, right? Because we watched the guy develop from being a yuck into a quarterback as a senior, right? So we saw him over a period of 3 years. You had a great offensive lineman, great offensive line. They won the Joe Moore Award last year. And then, oh, by the way, you know, he was a pretty decent athlete, right? So you combine all those things together and you have a very successful season. You lose some part or all of those parts and pieces, then you're going to struggle. And again, I think, you know, as much as – you know, it's the typical high school football story. Like, you want to see your senior step out on the field and lead the team if he's capable of doing it. But you also have to be a realist and realize, like, hey, sometimes that there may be a better guy, you know. And I don't know if we've gotten to that point yet, because I think both of those guys are in development and they're two different points in development right now. Maybe the QB to two QB system works, doesn't work. I don't know. But I think what we saw, you know, this week is indicative of probably what we're going to see for a couple more weeks in the season, unless somebody gets injured. But yeah. my take on the game really quick, you know, most complimentary football of the season, as I mentioned, you know, the magic number is 52 and a half roughly for plays on defense for Army. In success, that's what they did. They had 60 plays on defense this week, which is right on the edge of too many. They had 42 plays in the K-State win. And then when you look at the games that, you know, unfortunately did not go Army's way, 82 plays on defense, 72 plays or 78 plays in the overtime losses, and then 72 plays on the defense against ECU. So you just can't be on the field that much. And that's ultimately what it boils down to. I think one of the other things that we have to look into is controlling the explosive plays, but I think that will help us down the road with some of the other opponents that we have. But it was nice to see some defensive changes that actually got some pressure on the quarterback, and that was helpful this season or this week.
Yeah. You know, Rob, you talked about Bryson Daly, and I had a conversation with my mother this past week. My brother graduated with Bryson. They were friends, if not roommates, at prep school, you know, all 4 years, and you know, he was on the team. And one of the things that Munkin talked about at graduation, you know, they do the graduation, and all the football players go into, I think, Kimsey and do a kind of another ceremony. And Munkin talked about how abnormally close the class of 2025 was and how bonded they were. They were at prep school together during COVID, and a lot that that team went through really kind of shaped the bond that then manifests itself on the field. So I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I definitely think that is missing. And this team, you know, is not as close. And Dan, to your point, they don't have necessarily the same maturity that we've seen of teams in the past. James, I know you kind of teased it a little bit ago, but talking about this kind of two quarterback system, quarterback battle, whatever it is, we've seen this a couple times at Army. Do you think this is more of the same, or you think this is something new?
Well, a couple things. I know we've talked about it before. The age old adage is if you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks, right? But
yep.
I sort of don't think that's a case when you run the triple option, right? The reason that you don't want two quarterbacks is the same reason that the triple option honestly kind of works, right? When the triple option is working and the offense takes a 10-minute drive, you have a quarterback on the sideline getting cold. In other words, getting ready to come in and make a mistake. And even if it's not an interception, even if it's an incomplete pass earlier in the drive that forces a three and out, you have a cold quarterback coming into a game, and that's not good, especially if you have limited possessions. Well, Army quarterbacks aren't throwing the football. And if they are throwing the football, like, they're cold at throwing the football, right? They haven't thrown the football in a while because we're not doing it often. So it doesn't really matter if your quarterback's arm is warm when he comes into the game because, well, they're probably not throwing for a while anyway. So when you think of your quarterback as an additional fullback or an additional halfback or you know, running back or slotback as they're called on the roster, rather than a passing guy, right? When you think of him that way, all of a sudden, I don't care if he's coming off the bench, right? You think of some of Army's greatest years. Think about 2018, in recent history anyway. 2018, we had four fullbacks. They'd go for a set of downs, and a new fullback would go in with a play call. Like, who cares? Like, you're keeping fresh legs on the field. So I don't necessarily think two quarterbacks means no quarterbacks when you're running a triple option system. Now, there's another worry with these two particular quarterbacks, and that's that the blocking scheme, the play calling style, the entire offense really is vastly different depending on which quarterback is in the game, right? One of them looks a lot like Tyre Tyler, where it's a lot of hit the line quickly, you know, try to make a defender miss, slip through a tackle between the tackles, and that's Dwayne Coleman. And the other one looks a lot like Bryson Daly. Take a slow snap, figure out where the hole is, and then punch it, right? And that's Cale Helms. So with that, there's a worry that your offensive line might not adapt well to two drastically different styles of play. And I get that, but that hasn't been the case this year. Every time they've made a switch mid-game, it seems to have gone well. The sole exception to that is when Helms came into the game against Tarleton State because of injury, not because they wanted to switch quarterbacks, right? And I think that is because now not only does a defense have to prepare for a triple option in 1 week, they have to prepare for two drastically different blocking schemes, two drastically different play calling styles in 1 week. Yes, they're both the triple option, but it changes a lot. So I'm not against having two different quarterbacks, two different play calling styles, and switching it throughout the game when it makes sense, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to pull a hot quarterback out of the game when it's working. But if I get stalled out on a drive, yeah, sure, I'll throw the other guy in. Maybe the other play calling style will match up better against their defensive front seven, right? I don't think that's a problem here.
James, I don't disagree with you. In fact, I think I do agree with you quite a bit. I guess the caveat I would add to that is traditionally when we've seen the two quarterback system, it's we have a guy who can run and run physically and aggressively, but he cannot throw for shit. And then we got a guy who can throw. And so as soon as we take the runner out, it's like, oh, gee, what's Army going to do? Are we going to throw?
Agreed.
So, yeah. And that's where we've gotten ourselves in trouble because they immediately drop back, change the protection, whatever it is. So, but I think what you were getting at is it's a little different this time because they can both run and they can both throw. You know, they run differently and they throw differently, but they're both dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would say that I think that Helms has commanded the running game a little bit better and that
agreed.
Coleman is a better passer, but agreed. You're right. It's not as if I'm taking out Tyler and putting in Christian Anderson and all of a sudden everyone knows what's going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
It's not an either or. I think that's right.
Yeah. I think my only thing with the two quarterback system, and God forbid I ever weigh in on offense, but like the one thing that I would say about that is, you know, that, like James said, Helms is a way better runner significantly, like in between the tackles, that guy's going to get yards. And Coleman seems to have a better command of like running the option as the triple, yep. You know? And I think that's true.
I disagree with that. I don't know, Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Rob. Helms, I mean, they're not calling the same plays for these guys.
Yeah,
true. But Coleman is doing a better job of reading the defense in the running game. Helms, I think, makes – I don't necessarily want to say better down – like, he's more of a one read, pass, or run, and he's pretty decisive about it.
I think Coleman makes better perimeter decisions.
Yes.
For sure.
I think that
– Helms makes better interior running decisions.
Like, yeah. Oh, I don't know about that one.
Or run himself.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that analysis. My only thing is like, hey, look, if Coach Worley is trying to script an offensive set, it's very, very difficult to script an offensive set if you're not sure which quarterback you're going to be starting. So you're running into the same problem set that the defense has to face. Like, hey, am I facing Coleman or am I facing Helms? I don't know which guy I'm going to have to take care of. So now I have to prepare for two different running styles, right? And so on the offensive side, that could backfire a little bit too, because like if you have your script of your first 10 or 15 plays that you want to run and all of a sudden you have to make a switch because a quarterback's not getting it done, I think that's going to impact you a little bit more on your play calling. I'm sure it could be done with taken care of with preparation. But like I said, I think Coleman has a better command of like setting the edge and running outside. And then, you know, Helms, I'm almost QB power, right? I'm spying him with the free safety and like, hey man, you hit that guy and hope that it works out for you.
Yeah. Dano, do you have any more thoughts on UAB before we move on to Charlotte?
Two things. They got safety Colin Madison back, and that was huge. Madison is a great player. You know, we interviewed him before the season. You could just tell by the way he carried himself. He was in for a good season. And also nose tackle Cody Harris-Miller, still not back yet. I'm hoping he comes back for either the Tulane game or the Air Force game, because although the defense played very well here, and Tuiati, who's the backup nose tackle, I don't want to call him backup. He's a very good nose tackle, but when they get Harris Miller back, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Good deal. All right. Hey, well, let's speaking of personnel, let's do some awards and talk about the player of the game. Prepare for that one, Dan. I read ahead and I like knew that it was coming. It wasn't going to scare me this time. So I'm learning.
Damn it.
And okay. Rob, looks like y'all both have players of the game.
I certainly do. Safety Gavin Shields, three tackles, one pass defended, one critical interception. The whole defense played well. You know, Casey Larkin dropped like three interceptions, so that's kind of why he's not here. But yeah, Gavin Shields, man, he gets my award, player of the game.
Yeah. Rob? And I say Anderson Britton, man, like, you know, to see the kicker come down and recover a fumble on a kickoff, that's pretty dope. You know, it just he stuck his nose in there, right? And typically you don't see that. That's a very Armory kicker thing to do, is to, you know, dive on a loose ball. But I think the other part of it is indicative to the type of effort that the team had this week, right? So if everybody is putting in, they're all like that, you know, chances of you being successful are very good.
I got one as well. Dawson Jones, the other kicker, the place kicker, not the kickoff guy, 45-yard field goal.
Yeah.
I would have assumed Army would have to be at like the 15-yard line to attempt a field goal at any point this season. And he nails a 45-yarder, so good for him.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's true.
Yeah. It doesn't look like we have a play of the game, so James, it's all you.
Yeah. All right. You want to kick it up? We're going to talk about that 41-yard play.
Do I need to set this? Oh, you got it.
Okay. No, you got it. Yeah. So that 41-yard pass from Helms to Samari Howard. So what I have here is just a normal setup. Forgive the offensive line. It's not perfect. I did this in PowerPoint. And for the listeners, you're going to have to try to track. So normally Army lines up. You got 5-0 linemen. You have a tight end off one side. In this case, to the right, you have two A-backs right off each end of the line. You have a B-back and the quarterback, and you have a wideout. For those who are watching, you can see how UAB set up. They had a single safety. They effectively had a five-man front. And then they had they weren't quite four linebackers, but four players that were, you know, acting as if they were linebackers, with one corner by the wide receiver about 5 yards off the ball. What Army did on this play is very interesting. So instead of having a tight end with two A-backs on the each end of the line, they took the left side A-back and they put him on the right side. So you're going to have two A-backs on the right side, one up where the tight end would be and one back where the normal A-back position. And they're going to take the tight end out of the game and they're going to stick a second B-back on the left side of the line where the A-back would go. So here's what it looks like for those who are watching. This is why you joined the First Two Club, so you can see things like this. So now you have two A-backs on the right side. The one in the normal A-back position is Noah Short. So everybody's watching Noah Short. Here's your primary A-back. Everyone on defense is spying him. And you have a B-back who's playing in the A-back position. This is a fullback playing in a position that Noah Short would play in. He's a sophomore. To date, he has made an impact in the stat sheet twice. One is a tackle on a kickoff return, and then he fair caught a punt against Kansas State. That's it. That's the only time he's ever entered the stat sheet. He enters the game as an A-back, even though he's listed as a fullback, at 220 pounds. The first thing that happens is he, on the left side, is going to motion like he's the pitch guy to behind the quarterback. At that point, everybody is thinking Noah Short's getting the ball. They're going to run a fake reverse to the left, because they like to do this in the option where they motion a guy like you're going to pitch coming around to the right side, and instead they send a guy on the right side around to the left side and they pitch it to him. So you see a guy, you have no idea who he is. He's motioning. Noah Short is on the other side. What do you think is going to happen? So they snap the ball and a couple things happen. The line starts blocking to the left as if the play is going to the left. And Noah Short, as soon as the ball snapped, starts motioning like he's the pitch guy. So now everybody's like, yep, that's what's happening. The play is going to the left side of the field. And they react that way. So then this happens. The wide receiver on the right side of the field starts an immediate sprint, pulls that single safety in the cornerback with him downfield, and then both the new B-back and the normal B-back become blocks on the right side. So the line goes left, and now you have two fullbacks blocking the right side and Noah Short going as if he's going to take a pitch on the empty left side. So now if you're a linebacker, your cornerback and your safety are going right side. And everything else is going left side, so you really have to seal that left edge. Here's how they react, and as noted, all of them go towards that left side of the field. The only one that doesn't is the outside linebacker on the right side of the field. He does what he's supposed to, and he seals the edge. But instead of going up against what is normally the tight end, but in this case is a second A-back in Samari Howard, that Samari Howard goes and kind of gives him a half block as if that's his job on the play. And he just kind of stays there as if he's got to seal the edge. Everyone behind him, downfield. Cornerback, downfield. Safety, downfield. Everyone else is cutting to the left side of the field, and he has to make sure that Helms or anybody else doesn't end up on the edge, so he's staying there. Right, Samari Howard gives him like a little bit of a half block, but he's thinking, I got to make sure I seal this edge. I don't give a crap about this guy who's trying to block me right now. I just need the edge sealed. So he tries to get around him, and then this happens. And Samari Howard leaves the block, enters a wheel route downfield, and he's wide open. Nobody's there. I don't think I've seen this personnel group before, guys, where you have two B-backs, no tight ends, and two A-backs on the same side of the field. I thought it was really unique, a cool play call. I mean, everyone in the world thought that play was going the other way. Obviously, people that were watching on TV didn't, because ESPN cut back to the play just as the ball was being snapped. But for those who went back and watched the replay afterwards, and those in the stadium, and those on the field, more importantly, everyone thought that play was going the other way. I just thought it was a cool example of how not just motions and previous plays set up a defense, but the personnel groups themselves, just putting different players on the field, makes everyone think a play is going left when it's going right.
I'd be curious to know if there are any reads in there. I mean, obviously this is a design and it achieved what it was supposed to achieve, but you know, does Helms have reads in there in case?
No, I don't think so.
The defenders don't do what's supposed to do here.
It looked like the fullback was faking the whole way. In other words, I forget who it was. I forget who the fullback in the game was. Not number two, who's lined up at slot back. But the guy behind the quarterback, it didn't look like he was seriously taking it at all. He was just going to block. And Noah Short never looked at Helms on the way by. He was just running to that side to convince the defense the play was going that way.
Interesting.
So I think that was a play the whole way. And if he's not open, if that maybe the only read is if that edge, if that linebacker who's sealing the edge decides to go with Samari Howard, then Helms just follows him and leaks out the right. But I don't think there was any, like, I don't think Helms was handing the ball off on that play in any iteration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But with this setup, I mean, there's a lot of branches and sequels off of it. God, way to sound like an Army guy. But like,
there's lots of MOAs and POAs and COAs and
yeah. But there's a lot of other things that they could do off of this set. And if people start trying to lock in on like, oh, they're gonna run the real route, like you can toss in a bubble screen or some other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, and those reach blocking is great to influence people, because as soon as like your guard disappears from in front of your face as a linebacker, you're flowing in that direction. Like that's how they're taught. So from a defensive standpoint, it's going to confuse the defense because they're going to move in the direction that the blockers are going. And if nobody pulls, it makes it even that much more confusing.
All right, Jordan, you want to play a game?
Sure, Dan, let's play a game.
Shall we play a game?
Just a disgust.
James, I think this one's also you.
Yeah. All right. So back to the game. I don't think, Jordan, that we have been on a
not been on a show with you
since last season
to happen.
Right. So the way this works is I have a trivia question. You guys are each gonna take turns. Once you get two strikes, you're out. And we're going to see how it goes. So the trivia question this week, we'll go.
Hang on. Let me bring up ChatGPT. 1 second.
We're going to start with Jordan this time, because you haven't started yet. Geez. And then we're going to go to Rob and then Dan. Can you name the top 10?
Oh God.
And you just guess one, right? If you got to get one of the 10 on each turn, the top 10 in players who have had 100-yard rushing games. It's players who have had – I'll give you a hint. In order to be on this list, you need to have 10 games with 100 rushing yards or more. If you had less than 10, you're not on the list. If you had at least 10, you're on the list. Shout out to Eric Spensky, the Sid at Army, for sending me the record book this year. I appreciate you.
What? Okay, so this is all time?
All time, all time. Oh, there's going to be some that you're not going to get.
I'm going Bryson Daly.
All right, Bryson Daly, number two with 13.
Nice. Rob, who gets to go next?
Rob's up.
Doc Blanchard.
Doc Blanchard not on the list. Remember, wow, they did not rush for nearly – there were a lot fewer plays per game back in the day. That is strike one for Rob.
Ahmad Bradshaw.
Ahmad Bradshaw is tied at third with 12.
Okay. Back to Jordan.
Ooh, Larry Dixon.
Larry Dixon, tied at fifth, has 11.
Holy shit. I did not think that would work.
Nice. Terry Bagot.
Terry Bagot, tied at fifth with 11.
Kelvin Hopkins.
Kelvin Hopkins. He's not on the list. I'm trying to find him. He didn't have enough time. He had the injury bug.
Okay.
But Kelvin Hopkins, that makes sense. Not on the top 10.
Oh, is Darnell Woolfolk on there?
Darnell Woolfolk not on the list. Give me a second. By the way, I found Doc Blanchard. He's got two. He's probably in the 2 to 5 category, but he's not on here. In the top 10 anyway. I'll give you guys a hint now that everyone's got a strike. You are missing the top one. 80s and 90s. Let's think 80s and 90s for some of these.
Oh, God.
So Rob's up next.
Was it? Dang it. I forget his name now. 80s and 90s. Well, shoot. I'm just going to toss this one out here. Rashad Hodge.
Rashad Hodge is not on the list.
I realize that this is not 80s or 90s, but I'm going to go Trent Steelman.
Trent Steelman is tied for third with 12 on the list. So Rob has two strikes. He's out. Dan and Jordan both have one strike, and we're even through a round. So Jordan, you're up next. Sudden death.
Oh, is Carlton Jones on there?
Carlton Jones tied for fifth with 11.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember.
There's
what
an 80s one. You're missing number one, who's an 80s and 90s guy.
I'm trying to remember what the guy's name was when I was there, and I can't hear it in my head.
Would not have been there while you were there, before you were there.
Top
number one rusher in Army all time.
I'm sorry, I have no idea, James.
All right, Mike Mayweather. That's the one you should have gotten. Yeah.
One
more you should have gotten. I'm saying should have just because it's recent. Raymond Maples.
Yeah.
And the ones that you wouldn't have gotten that I don't think you would have gotten are Torrey Crawford and Gerald Walker.
What year
early, all like late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
But Jordan, congrats on that one. Carlton Jones for the win. Hope you guys had fun listening and screaming at your screens as we forgot them.
What do I get, James, since I won?
Nothing. Bragging.
Oh, right. Nothing. Oh,
you get a dollar. You get a dollar store steak knife.
Well, that's really underwhelming. But you know what isn't underwhelming? Saving $1,300 on your mortgage process. Dano, tell us about our other sponsor, Craig.
A friend, Craig Oxane, sponsors this fine podcast. He is a area sales manager for the Money Store. He is a professional mortgage broker, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but a member of the class of the West Point class of 1994. He is based out of Chicago, but he will lend anywhere. As we just said, he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Friends, Craig is going to give you the best deal he possibly can, going to offer you super competitive rates. And this is important because the mortgage process is confusing as it can be. Interest rates move all over the place, and it's just not the time to try to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you, right? You want to deal with somebody who cares about you, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. And this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to help you get meet the very man you need to meet to get the best deal on a mortgage that you possibly can. And as Jordan says, guys, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money. Save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. His link is on our website. You go to the website and talk to him or Jocelyn. You just click on their little business card. You'll be talking to them pretty soon. And that's it. Thanks.
Gents, I got to head out for the second half. Fun first half. Beat Charlotte.
Beat him. Thanks, James. All right, gentlemen, let's talk Charlotte. So Charlotte comes into this game 1-4. They have really struggled. Among other things, they're the only team in college football to make Bill Belichick's UNC look like a legit D1 football team. Charlotte lost to App State in the opener, got blown out 20-3 by UNC at home, beat FCS Monmouth. 42-35. Well, at least they can beat an FCS team. They looked really uncomfortable at home against Rice, and then they got blown out this past week at USF 54-26. I watched that game. It was not very competitive. USF was in control the entire time. Dan, what are we looking like on offense for Charlotte?
I don't know how good their offense was going to be this season under the best of circumstances, but losing starting quarterback Connor Harrell with an ACL did not do them any favors. This team has scored all of 7 touchdowns this season, in the entire season. That's nuts. Backup quarterback Grayson Loftus came in, and let's be honest, he looked bad. Completed 45.5% of his passes, got a touchdown against 3 picks and 7 sacks in about 1 game's worth of work. I mean, imagine. So then last week they went to junior quarterback Zach Wilkie against USF, and he played better, presumably against their backups. He went 14 of 18 for 150 yards, 2 touchdowns against just 1 pick, no sacks. You got to think Wilkie's starting this Saturday. I mean, please. I mean, got to be right. Freshman running back Rod Ganey Jr. is probably the lone bright spot on this offense. 31 carries for 145 yards. That's almost 5 yards per carry with 1 touchdown. He's also got 5 catches for 13 yards. These guys have a couple of receivers, but they haven't done a lot since they lost Harrell. So I don't know what to tell you about that. But Jai Mason and Javon Nichols both have about 300 yards receiving, and Mason has 4 touchdowns. So, you know, again, if Charlotte had a quarterback that could get the ball to these guys, I'd be more concerned. But as it is, you got to expect that the Army defense will, at a minimum, put up some sacks.
Yeah. Rob, talking defense, what are we looking like?
Yeah, so Charlotte has the nation's 125th ranked rushing defense. They're allowing 208 yards a game, about 5.2 yards per carry. It's slightly better than UAB on a per game basis, but worse on a per carry basis. So the bottom line is, teams can run on them. The defense isn't bad. They've got some playmakers at linebackers in the secondary, but they're getting no help from their offense. So, for example, they have 5 sacks, 9 passes defensed, 2 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, and 3 recoveries. They're still sitting at -7 turnover margin. That's just because offense is giving it away. I mean, you can't win football games if your offense isn't playing some type of even if they're just holding on to the ball and getting some kind of points, you have an opportunity. But like right now, it looks like there's going to be a mass exodus in the portal for all their defensive players at the end of the season. So maybe they'll go somewhere else in the American, who knows, but it's going to be pretty wild. They are ready to get the hell out of Charlotte. And moving on to special teams real quick, their punter or their place kicker, Liam Boyd, is 7-for-7 on extra points. He's 6-for-8 on field goals with a chip shot miss and a miss from 40-plus, and their punter averages about 45 yards per punt. I mean, they have the potential to win, but again, they are not winning the team, or they're beating the teams that they should, but the games that they are supposed to be competitive in, they're just not doing well.
Yeah. And you know, Vegas agrees. Line opened at Army 14.5, has since risen to Army -17.5, which is honestly kind of crazy for a team as inconsistent as Army how we've been this season. Over under is at 47.5, so I think they're expecting a lower scoring game. That being said, should be mostly sunny, but maybe a little cold in the morning up at Mikey Stadium this weekend. Highs in the upper 60s once it warms up, but it might be around 50 degrees for your tailgate if you're going to the game. Gentlemen, what do we think? Is Army going 3-3? Are we going to rise to the occasion, or are we going to play down against a subpar team? Dan?
I mean, yeah, I think they get back to 500 this week. You know, the Black Knights open with a tough series of games. You wouldn't normally set it out to have your first game of the season against, you know, the arguably the best FCS team in the country coming off a week of their own get-right game. I mean, that was just a recipe for disaster that backfired, right? So, and then you play North Texas and Kansas State. I mean, not the easiest way to open the season. So yeah, we're catching some more beatable opponents and starting to see some of these systems work better. And hopefully, you know, they get two weeks in a row of looking good, start to get some stuff in place. And then when we play Tulane and Air Force, they're ready to play. So yeah, man, but we got to have Army quit beating themselves. Like, let's let Charlotte do the beating of themselves.
Yeah. Rob.
Yeah. 1-0 this week. I think that's the mentality that they have to bring. I mean, that's just from the coach's perspective, and that's a perspective as a fan that you need to have. You know, don't think about, you know, postseason bowl games or anything else like that. Just think about winning the game in front of you. I think honestly, this game is going to be won by Army running the ball as a committee. Like, we need 5 or 6 players with like 50 to 75 yards each. And for two reasons. One, because that will show some more diversity in the offense. But I think the other part of it is, you know, as we talked about earlier, Helms can move the ball, but does he distribute it? I haven't seen that, you know, very well. And if he's going to be the starter, he needs to, you know, spread the ball around just to give more people opportunity to touch, because I also think that will help generate success later on down in the season. Defensively, I think, you know, still got to squeeze the middle, work on that inside RPO off of the slow mesh, and then the tunnel screen that kind of bit us in the butt against UAB. I think that was just based off of the pressure and kind of the design of some of the scheme that they were using on the defensive line. But I do like the pre-snap movement that they were doing, some of the delayed blitzes and stunts. It just depends on what the offense is doing. If those are going to continue to be successful, they have to get to the quarterback. I think they will. And then on special teams, just keep creating opportunities for the offense, or keeping the other team off the board. Like, those block kicks got inside the UAB kicker's head, and then he pooched that other one. And so I think, you know, anything can happen. You know, of course, it's an Army football game, but, you know, it's trending in the right direction for them to get to 500 this week.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for the analysis, gentlemen. Let's move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right, reviewing what we had last week. Dan said Cale Helms run some obvious option plays between the tackles. That was fiction. He ran an obvious run-pass option on fourth down, but if he's making give reads between the tackles, still hard to notice them. Rob said Army has a passing touchdown this week. That was fiction. We went 2-for-5 passing against UAB, though both completions were big ones. Omar said Army holds Jalen Kitna below 300 passing yards. That was a fact. And then AJ Scott via the Firsty Club. Army gets 3 sacks and forces a pick. That was fiction. 1 sack and 1 pick. Left a few more picks out on the field. Dano, you're up first for this week.
So, fact or fiction, Cale Helms has fewer carries than the team's fullback.
No, it's fiction.
I mean, you don't even know if he's going to start.
No, yeah, but when I watch the guy, he calls his own number. Like, unless it's a pass, he's calling his number. It's like, that's not going to happen.
Jordan?
I'm going to say fact.
I think it's got to be a point of emphasis, man, with him.
It has to be. Yeah, if, and, you know, Rob, yeah. You just made the point we're going to win by committee, so come on.
If you're talking about trying to develop a guy, right, you're going to run a 2-quarterback system, and you're going to start Helms and bring Coleman in off the bench, which is by no means guaranteed. That is not guaranteed by any means. But if that's what you're doing, then that's got to be the point of emphasis. Like, this is the give read. It's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I agree. But if he starts, he's going to have more carries than the fullback. that's all I'm saying. Like if he comes in later, there may be ball distribution. That's what I'm saying. So like,
okay,
if it started like the UAB game where Coleman came in first and then Helms came in off the bench, then their chance of that happening goes up. But if he starts,
okay,
it's a wrap.
So this week in one half of football plus one series, he still wound up with more carries than the fullbacks.
Yeah, which is fair. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm going fact, but I don't know if that's really going to happen.
No.
Rob, yours kind of dovetails off of this. Give it to us.
Yeah. So Army has 3 ball carries with 50 plus yards. I mean, that would equate to ball distribution. And so I think, you know, Noah Short will probably break one, a long one, you know, Briggs Bartosz might break a long one, and then Cale Helms will run 37 times and get 17 yards.
Rob, you're a hater, man.
I'm not a hater, man. I'm just like, I typically don't comment on offense, but like, when I watch the guy, it's like, oh, that's most of the time he runs. It seems like, and I don't know if, you know, coaches can correct me, but it seems like it's a design QB run. It's not like, hey, I'm reading the fullback and then I'm tucking and running. It's QB power.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely it. So let me ask you this, Rob, since we're sort of here, who do you think should start? Well, who would you like to see start?
Well, I mean, when you look at the weakness of the Charlotte defense, it should be Helms because he runs better, right?
Okay.
Now what that does is if you run him and if he starts in the first half and they start squeezing in to prevent the inside of the tackle runs from the defense, then you put Coleman in and then you spread the offense back out and that creates more opportunities for you, so it'll be interesting.
He did not have more carries than the rest of the team combined. Brian Brennan asked that question in the chat. So anyway,
yeah,
I'm going to go fact here. Jordan, I don't know if you said fact or fiction.
I'm going fact.
Okay, cool. Oop. Nope.
fact.
Fact. All right. Hey, well, we've started a little bit of a new segment in the show. We have a few new segments in the show. One of them is mailbag. That's where we're trying to solicit questions from the Firsty Club. Dan, I totally forgot we have a sounder for this. I'm sorry. We can do the
sound. That's okay. I was going to play it when I got my opportunity. So
you've got mail.
I got so much feedback. People like the sound.
That's my favorite sounder too, and I just blew right past. We need to start putting like Dan has sounder in the outline, so I don't forget.
I should totally do that.
Anyway, we solicit questions from the Firsty Club, but anyone can send us a question. If you've got something that you'd like us to address, you can email us through the website or hit us up on social media at As for Football. Terry Brennan asked, "What is the number one thing the Army offense can do to improve their third down efficiency?" So 31 of 82 for the year, 5 versus 12 UAB. Dan, I think you have a thought on this.
I mean, the biggest thing is to win on first down, but I don't know that they've necessarily been performing poorly on first down, absent a couple of specific games. So I'm going to say cut down on penalties because against UAB, UAB wasn't really stopping Army. It was more Army stopping themselves with false starts or whatever other crazy nonsense. So the biggest thing they got to do that they can really control is to control the penalties. And, if they do that, then hopefully they find a way to get some yards on first down. That's been kind of hit or miss at times. But I think they can do it. They just, we're seeing the team slowly get there.
Yeah. And then question from Matt, is it worth it to focus on our more important games remaining in the season? Air Force, Navy, and whatever gets us to 6 wins before Navy, and phone in the Tulane and UTSA games? Matt, that's a very, I think, scandalous question. I think is the answer, right? I mean, you could make an argument for a business decision of, hey, what's most important, beating Navy, beating Air Force, and go to a bowl. That's great. But culturally, I think that kind of goes against everything that we stand for as an Army football team and as a institution of West Point. I understand where you're coming from. I can understand the business decision behind it. But I think ethically, culturally, that's going to be a hard no. And we got to give 100% to every game.
Well, and I think one of the things that it was brought up and some of the guys in Firsty Club made a comment about it too. You have to win the games that are televised and you have to win them impressively, because if you look at Army's portfolio last year, the 2 times that they lost were on big time nationally televised games. And so when you start talking about the eye test, like how does a, 12 win conference champion not make it to the playoff? Like you get blown out on national TV twice, right? And if that is, playing against UTSA, which is kind of wounded this season, right? Like they're not doing as well as they typically are. They're losing at home, which is unheard of for UTSA. So if you, phone that one in and you lose it or it's closer than it needs to be, like that may impact your bowl game, So it's just not a smart decision, particularly without being able to leverage the portal and some of the other NIL competencies mm-hmm. that other teams are able to use. You have to put your best foot forward every time.
So 2 things is, first off, Temple beat UTSA. So arguing that UTSA is a better team, like they probably have more talent, but those teams just played and they figured that out on the field. So to say that UTSA has a better team is a little disingenuous. And also, if you're just looking at SP Plus rankings, Army is only going to be like a 4 or maybe a 7-point underdog to Tulane. Like, I don't know that I necessarily expect Army to win at Tulane, but that's not a game that they can't win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if they take the lessons learned from this week, a prolific quarterback, right? Because, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, Kitna is a decent QB, right? So if you can disrupt him, like, you know, former BYU guy that's now at Tulane, like, you could rough that guy up and get inside his play cycle and actually do something positive.
You know, he's maybe not been quite as good as advertised. I mean,
he didn't make as big a splash at Tulane as everybody thought, because everybody thought Tulane chew in for conference championship with this guy coming over as former Heisman Trophy candidate. And now it's kind of like, I guess we got to play the games to see if he, you know, if his stock actually holds up.
Yeah. Good discussion, guys. Thank you for listening to the Astro Football Army Football Show. I know a little bit longer this week. We had the full crew. For those of you that joined us live, thank you for joining us live. We're making some adjustments to the format and also the timing. So shooting this on a Monday instead of a Tuesday as usual. Dano, as we get ready to wrap up, what's you have a favorite thing, I believe?
Well, it is Oktoberfest this weekend, not the official Oktoberfest, which I want to say ended last weekend, but the Astro Football / Class of 1995 Oktoberfest in the lots. So if you know me, or if you're in the Firstie Club and you want to swing by, please come on by. We're expecting shitloads of people. I mean, it's going to be a zoo out there, which is awesome. But yeah, come by. Don't come by empty handed, man. Bring some beer, especially German beer, as that is how we roll. I spent some time on the phone today with my buddy setting that up. And the other thing is, I think this Monday slot works a little better for shooting this show. So this is probably going to be permanent, because we've really struggled to get our own team members on. And Monday works a lot better for every single facet of this show, except not going head to head with Jeff Munkin's show, which we failed to, because he's on right now on his show. So sorry about that. That is bad, but we got to do what we got to do here.
We know who the real ones are if you joined our show instead of Jeff Munkin. So we appreciate you.
Listen to this show, and then there's always 10 minutes of commercials and BS with that show while they're getting the room set up. You catch them 5 minutes late and fast forward through the commercials and on time. I it's doable.
Yeah, for sure. Plus, you can take us on the road. You don't have to watch us. You can listen to the podcast.
That's true. Yeah.
Good deal. Well, hey, thanks for listening. Go Army. Beat Charlotte.
Beat them. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!